Hayes has asked me to announce that the Student Senate is meeting at 11:15 rather than 11:45, so before I forget the announcement, I'll begin with it. Gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce to you this morning our convocation speaker, and those of you who attend the chapel doubtless feel like you already know him well or have been well introduced to him by that beautiful message. He comes to us from Mobile, Alabama. He has served there as pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church since 1973. At the present time, he is also serving another parish, Bethel, located at Clear Point, Alabama. He's a graduate of the Alabama Lutheran Academy, now Concordia College of Selma. Also a graduate of Concordia Teachers College, Seward, and Concordia Theological Seminary, Springfield, getting his Master of Divinity in 1973. He's held a number of important offices in the Southern District and has served on the Black Mission Task Force and the Black Lutheran Pastors Caucus. He's currently a member of Synod's Black Mission Commission and of the Board of Higher Education of Black Ministry, of the Board of Regents of Concordia College, Selma, and of a number of civic organizations. He has also received various community leadership and ministerial awards, including the C.P. Thompson Award for the Outstanding Young Black Lutheran Minister of the Year of 1982. The topic of his presentation this morning is Equipping Students for Effective Black Ministry Today. And so would you please welcome Reverend Ulmer Marshall. Thank you very much for that introduction. It's a great privilege to be with you this morning. I said in the chapel service this morning to share in doing that job that the Lord has called all of us to do. God say that we are to equip the saints. And inasmuch as you all are here, you fall into that category of saints. And I should add, sinners also. As I thought about the topic that I had been given to deal with today, I first of all began to think about what is it that equips people for ministry. I thought about a lot of things that one can do, should do to be equipped for the ministry and especially black ministry. But as to deal with, first of all, what is it that equips people for ministry, period? My mind and heart kept resting upon what equips people, and that is the Word of God. I'm sure that you have dealt, and a number of speakers have shared a number of subjects with you, and might not have anything new to share with you today, but maybe I might say it in a different way, that it might stick a little with you that you might remember and might hold on to it and be some benefit for you in the years to come. But what is it that equips people? It is the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God. Now, when we were growing up, I'm from a pretty large family. There's the 11 of us, and I'm the youngest of 11. And my father would always call us, give us various tasks to do, and sometime we would be off playing or doing something, and he would call, and we would answer, "Yes, sir." We would be waiting for him to tell us what he wanted us to do, but he never would say anything. He would wait for us to come to him, then he would tell us, and he always would say that, "You really haven't heard me until you produce what I've told you to do." And that's the way it is with God's Word.
We really haven't heard God's word until we produce what God's word says. Think about it for a moment. A lot of people say, well, I've heard the word of the Lord. Heard this. But until we are doing those things that God has commanded us to do. And this is the thing that hearing God's word, really and truly hearing it, equips us. We must have a love for God's word, a deep, abiding love for the word of God. Love for the word of God, and not in no wise knocking all of the other things that we do that prepare and equip you, all of the history courses that you take and the church history courses and the Greek and the Hebrews and all of this. This is great. Great indeed, because all of this prepare us for really hearing and understanding the word of God. But so often, sometimes, we get so wrapped up in all of these things that we sometimes miss out on really hearing and abiding by what thus says the Lord. A love, a deep love for the word of God. Now the task that I have today in dealing with equipping students for effective black ministry for today. And there is a special gift. I think that one needs or desire that one needs if he desire to go into black ministry, to do black work. The word of God is powerful. As I said this morning, is that the greatest power that God has invested upon the face of this earth in giving us this precious word to share with one another. And it's powerful. Whether a black person proclaim it, whether a white person proclaim it, it still has the power. I heard the Lord say of his word that my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that for which it was sent out. So the word is powerful. So as I get back to that first point, no matter what color we might be, or what type of work that we are going into, we must first of all have the word of God and have a deep love for it and a desire to share. As we move into dealing and working in black ministry and equipping people for black ministry, there must be a special love for black people. We must be able to put aside all of the false misconception that we have heard along the way, have been made it taught to us by parents or by our peer group or by someone along the way, all of the misconceptions that we might have about black people. We have to put those aside and realize, too, that these are God's people that is eager and hungry to hear the precious word of God. These are God's people that need the same thing in order to make it into his kingdom that any other race, creed, or color might need. The forgiveness of their sins and loving God as their Lord and Savior. Sometimes when we come with these misconceptions, it sets up a barrier for us and being that vessel and carrying God's word to the people. So we have to get away from all of this and do like the prophet Ezekiel. As he said, Lord, you know. You know the answer. You know, and you are able to give and direct. Lord, thou knowest. And when we give up all to the Lord in that life and accept him and really willing to go out and share that precious word, we'll find that a lot of those barriers that we have will already be down even before we another thing we plan for effective black work. We're going to deal with several things, and starting with you, we're dealing with preparing you now, and then we're going to deal with some things that maybe the seminary can do and things that you can do along the line as we move out to getting into that. But having that desire to work with black people, not only you having that desire, but if you are married, have a family, that you have the support of your family also. Otherwise, it's going to be very difficult. No matter what great desire you have and how much you are fired up and doing work among black people, among any ethnic group, and your wife, family is not giving that support, it's going to be very difficult. So also step there that family need to have that desire. Family need also to put away the misconception. Family need to be ready to make that sacrifice. And it is indeed a sacrifice, because there will be much talk, much chatter coming from you being white, going to working among blacks. Be much chatter coming from your white brothers and sisters about what you're doing. They will ostracize you, isolate you, make fun of you. So it is a sacrifice. We must be dedicated to the Lord, dedicated to our work. This can be done in preparing for effective work among blacks in several ways, and we want to deal with those. If you have a desire to go into black work or ethnic ministry, this should be known early in your seminary training. Identify early in the seminary that you desire or have this desire so you can make the proper preparation for it. So you just won't be thrown out cold turkey into sitting there on the maybe call night and all of a sudden hear a call read off if you're going to Trinity Lutheran Church in Mobile, Alabama. And you say, what? Then later on, find out as you receive your call documents and all that this is a black church. And then you say again, what? You mean me, Lord? Then you get the wrestling with the hand of the Lord. As the hand of the Lord try to lead and direct you, and we get the backing up, wrestling with it. So we need to identify this early and then make the proper preparation and training. I think that we have set up, or in our synodical system, the Black Minister Commission to be contact, so that they in turn will be able to assist you in doing field work and placing you probably in black congregations or ethnic congregations so that you can get the proper training, get adjusted to dealing and working with black people. And it calls for some adjustment. This, I think, should be done early, very early, in the seminary training. Should encourage clubs among the seminary students, and this is something that students can do. We don't have to wait on no one else, but you can form a club among yourself. Identify those among you that are here, the first-year students that have a desire of going into such type work. Identify them, and you group together, form a club, some type of organization that you can share and work together in building yourself and training yourself for this particular type work. There's minister groups to include students interested in Hispanic black and all type of work. And we find this happening, and especially missionary work, if there's a person in terms of thinking about doing missionary work, we note that we train them early. We prepare them. They group with others, and they go through special training. This could also be done in the light if you are going to work with blacks. I'm dealing in all other groups, too, but especially dealing here today with blacks. Another step that can be taken for effective training is taking special courses. And this is being light for the professors and for the seminary staff here to be permitted to substitute black history courses. I know that probably we don't have them here, don't have a professor here maybe that are teaching such courses. The next step is that since we don't have this present on campus, is to substitute some courses. Maybe permit the students to go to the university over there to take some black history courses instead of some other courses that they would otherwise probably take. I think this could be worked out with the administration. We will put forth that effort. But I would hope and pray that the long range would always be that we would seek to find someone efficient to teach and work here at the seminary to teach some courses in black history. And so often we sometimes say that there is no one available, but I do feel that if we seek out, we can find someone to fill that bill. Again, believe in what God's word says, seek and ye shall find. If we seek hard enough, we can find someone to fit that bill. We can call as professor here to teach some courses in this particular area. But allowing students to substitute black history courses from the university, I think Washington University is that close by here. Okay. And this can be done during your year while you're here. Arrange the curriculum in such wise. Encourage summer victory. Summer victory for students who normally would not get involved and be placed in such a situation. We do have a number of black congregations here in the St. Louis area where this can very well be done, where you can get some on-the-job training, working with some of the pastors and who have been in the field for quite a while, working with members, and this is the best type of training. If you are so inclined and so dedicated, then this would be part of your agenda to work towards doing this so that you won't be called out into the field cold. The work of priests idea also that's already established that we are well familiar with in our church system. This can be done to cut costs. A vicarage type work of priests so that we can get that on-the-job training. Have another list of things that can be done to equip you for the effective work in black training. List of duties that maybe you will be given by a pastor to do, visit, call on members, get involved in a situation that you normally would not get involved in. Preaching at churches, preaching once a month, twice a month. Getting involved in the function, the life of the church, teaching Bible classes, participating in community activities. All of this is ways that will train, prepare, equip you for effective work in black ministry. Another thing I have or suggest that vicars may stay with pastors. A lot of times when we go out on vicarage, we kind of want to be on our own, and that's good sometimes. But it would be good sometimes if we could arrange to stay with the pastor or stay with a member of the congregation to get that firsthand knowledge. Here at the seminary, there's a few courses that we find that working in black work, especially that you would need to consider, especially in counseling, marriage or counseling. We find that not only in the black community, but in all communities, we find a number of divorces, but this is one thing that we find very permanent in black congregations, black work divorces. So this would be good to take courses dealing with this marriage or counseling, dealing with counseling, so that you will have that information in dealing with people. It calls for preparing yourself, pure dedication to the mission, to the ministry, realizing that it is different and working in an all-white congregation where you have been all of your life, that you are familiar with. There's a culture barrier that you will have to deal with and overcome. So this is good that we start early equipping, preparing for this. Don't think that the job and working with blacks will be easy. Not only will it be a difficult task, but even for a black working in a black congregation, there's no easy task. And don't fool yourself and think that because this person is black that he is going to be able to work effectively in a black congregation. If he has not dedicated himself, not willing to go that extra mile and learning to know his people, work, ring doorbells, call on his people, really show that he is really concerned about their well-being, then he too will be a failure. It calls for dedication, whether you white, black, or any color. True dedication to the Lord and to the task. Maybe I'll stop here and if you have some questions for me, maybe we can, okay. And dealing with culture barriers is really to get to know people, black people, and why they function and why they do the things that they do. And a lot of times this will call for you, even taking some courses would be good, but firsthand knowledge is the best experience. And this is why I suggested early and all of the things in getting to work with a family or work with black people on the job training. The culture barriers are in the light of dealing with feeling at home or comfortable around white or black. Saying certain things that will probably, that you probably could say to blacks and that would really upset them because of their background and their experience, where they have come from, that you might be able to say to a white person and would not have any bearing on them at all. I think about Pastor Sheba and the story that he told them in his getting to work and deal with black people. And I remember him telling this at some meeting that during his year at the seminary in Springfield, he got to work with, for the first time, he was coming to the seminary was the first time that he ever saw a black person. And then while he was at the seminary, he stayed on during the Easter break to do a little work, and he was out ditch digging along with a black person. And while there, the black person stopped and asked him, said, "Well, why are you here doing my work?" And he didn't quite understand what he was talking about. He said, "Well, I need some money," he said. "That's why I'm doing this." He said, "Well, why are you doing my kind of work? This is not type of work that you should be doing." And as the conversation went on, and he said, "Well, I've never worked with the word that we hear so often that he used." And he said, immediately when he said that, this person had the shovel up ready to crack him inside the head. And he was innocent of the fact. He said, "Well, I've never," he said, "well, my German background, the German background that I have, I've never had any dealings with that before. And all that I've heard is that word, you know. And I thought that's what you say, you know." Now, we are far-fetched from that now, but just share with you some of the culture that shops and things that you'll get into. And there's other things that we probably will say too. Another thing we find with white dealing with black is, in most cases, is going overboard. We have often heard blacks say in going to certain congregations that they are killing me with kindness. I don't feel comfortable because they are really going overboard to be nice. No, be yourself in dealing with people. We find this often, quite a bit, even today. Maybe have I helped you any, or gone along listing some others, but living condition, even in certain foods and eating, and the way we do things, and the way we say things, as to why, you know. And there might be a lot of history behind this, is why I act the way that I act. What motivates me in this life? Well, here again, we find this not only in your church, but I confronted a member that we had this way would come this Sunday and this next Sunday and come the next Sunday. And I said, "Well, why is it that you can't come to church regular? Why are you always missing?" She said, "Well, I don't have that many clothes to wear, so I don't want to wear the same thing every Sunday. So I'll miss the Sunday, and the people won't know what I had on the next Sunday." Now, see, you run into all of these barons, and that was sincere, and she was sincere about it. She was really truthful about it. And another instance, talking with people, our people especially, go through confirmation and all of this, seem as if the pastor really hammer on communion and taking communion and being there for communion. And you might find this in your church, too, if you're dealing with blacks, that communion Sunday, the attendance is great. And the Sunday that's not communion, drop. Now, even trying to eliminate that, you've had some to try to eliminate that to go to communion every Sunday, and it's still find the problem. I would normally in a mixed congregation, those that I'm heard of or familiar with, you have always the power struggle. And I would try very hard not to get involved in the power struggle and try to work around that because that's always the case. in every mixed congregation. Even though you might have just a few whites, especially in a changing congregation where the blacks have moved into this congregation, you have a few whites staying there, even though you might have more blacks there than whites, but in many cases the whites are still, because they were there first, still kind of controlling things, and they are the power there, and you have that constant struggle of power, trying to get over that. And again, I suppose you have to deal with proclaiming the word of God and let God's word, you know, overcome those barriers. Because, you know, if we proclaim the word of God and don't show favoritism, it will work. There's one leadership magazine, you might be familiar with that one, always has some real good articles in there dealing with ministry in particular. And also there several times come out with articles dealing with black ministry. There's another one called Minister Magazine, if you're familiar with that one. I don't have the address or Minister Magazine is the title of it. And that's out on a monthly basis, and that has some very, very good articles in it. Working with blacks. Okay. I think this gentleman here had his hand up for some time back. Let's see if he can. See if I can answer all of those questions. dealing with the one is black working, not working that effectively in or with blacks. There's a lot of truth to that, and as much as it goes way back of history, and sometimes I'm almost embarrassed or ashamed to say, but nevertheless, it's true. With our people, with black people, was back to the whole deal of slavery and the great white father, and what they say is always right. And this has trickled down through generations, and we still find it quite prevalent in congregations and with black people today. I always say in dealing and talking with my people, because we have seen whites come into a congregation and do an effective job with blacks. And not saying that the black pastor who were there were not working. Probably he were working double hard. But many cases, maybe the blacks were not willing and ready to follow his leadership along the line. I have a slogan that I sometimes say about our people. Say, white people come into a congregation and say jump, and the congregation say hi hi. And when a black is there and say jump, and they say, what are you talking about? And as I say, I really hate to say it, but nevertheless, it's true. we have a lot of our congregation, and why even in the South, where we have had a number of white serving black congregations, a number of things have happened to contribute this type of thinking and feeling. Whereas a white pastor has served the congregation, and because of the mission board and all sending him there, have supported him, supported that congregation, that they were able to get the sufficient amount of money that they needed to operate from district or what have you, and it was no struggle, and everything went along smoothly. I can attest to this fact that when a black come into that same congregation, things are altogether different. And coming down from the district and receiving the amount of subsidy that you need to operate. And this makes it difficult when you don't have the money. And then all other problems come up. We don't have funds to do this, and we don't have funds to do that. And quite naturally, a person or a congregation will see, well, when we had this white pastor, we were able to do this, and things were going on nicely. And there's a lot of that has happened. A lot of our congregation have been spoiled in that life to the point that you have some blacks years past will say that we don't want a black pastor. We would prefer having a white pastor. Okay. The other question in dealing with worship, this has always been a struggle with blacks, with the old German liturgy and the German hymn. We have not, to this point, in many instances, mastered those. Most cases, we don't have our the organist, in most cases, to play the music. Train the congregation and the way the hymn should be sung, and it just drags along. And it really has become a hindrance in reaching out to get new members into the congregation, especially when you're involved in the South, when you're involved in or surrounded by Baptists, Methodists that are not accustomed to such slow drag along service. That really just kind of bore them to death. And they are completely lost. I put forth much effort in dealing in my congregation and trying to get around this. We have not disbanded the Lutheran hymnal altogether, but we tried not to use it, the order of service, page 5 or page 15. We haven't changed these to the new ones yet. No more than once a month. We use what we call the Black Lutheran Worship Supplement. This is a supplement that a number of the blacks in the Southern District kind of put together. We use some of the material from the worship supplement that was put out, and then Senate got on our case and said, you're copyrighting, you better leave that alone. But we do have a number of these and many of the congregations in the Southern District area, and we use those and make up our own order service. So no more than once a month we use the Lutheran hymnal, the order service. We try to incorporate some hymns. Singing is one thing that I've found in the black church that tends to draw people. It's a thing that about music that moves and motivate people. And to have some good music, good choir, really in terms add to the service. I'm happy that the Lord has blessed us with 5 choirs, even though we have a little small congregation. The Lord has blessed us with 5 choirs. But they argue about who will sing each month. So that's great. Really great. Some of the misconception that people go in about black people that you have heard, I'm sure, along the line that black people are inferior to white. And a lot of times these things stick with people. You've heard them throughout the years. You've been taught these things. And we go in with these misconceptions. And when we go in with these, it set up a barrier for us dealing with, because we have the notion that, hey, you are not capable of doing or doing thus and so, and we don't work to bring our people up to that standard that God would have them. Misconception about the family ties, that we are not as close with family ties as maybe the whites, and have this family love and all these misconceptions, and dealing with the sixth commandment that we are so freely and giving of our bodies and all of this. And these are a lot of misconceptions that I've heard, and that I know that you have heard too, that we go in with, and they cause problems. I saw a number of other hands. See if I can answer those. I might not have all the answers for you for that question. We have presently 205 what we call black congregations in Senate, black Lutheran congregations. Now, just a moment. In this number, you have a percentage of blacks, and in also in the schools, that there are a number of congregations that you have 80 or 90% black in the school, but not that great a percentage in the church. And we have, in turn, classified these two as black or mixed congregations, where you have in the school more blacks than you do have than whites. Whites or blacks, that this would be no problem at all with any other congregation that they would be willing to call if there's a need. We know that there's a shortage of black pastors to serve all of these congregations, and one thing about blacks, they are willing to call and accept whites in the congregation and adjust and grow, whereas we haven't made that change yet in the other life of whites calling blacks. We pray that one day we'll soon get there. I don't have the statistics on what it would be with unreached black people. And are you referring to blacks in the country? In the Southland, yes, we are growing. We have, in the last, if you read some of the statistics, over the last decade, we have not started any black mission in our Senate. But thanks be to God that we are among the first to start a black congregation, trying to start a black congregation in Morse Point, Mississippi. But there's a great need. We don't have in that particular area any black church at all. The blacks in the Southland are growing. We are getting over the barrier of family ties, where a number of families are Baptist, Methodist, and they don't want to switch over, don't want their family or any part of that family to be Lutheran or what have you. You get tied up with all of these strings too. People are coming to hear the word of God, realizing that the Lutheran church has something to offer, is teaching the pure word of God, and you find there's growth there. Much growth. That's the show. Thank you. agree with you, there's a rather unique culture. And the strange thing about it is that you can't pinpoint it and say that you have, that all will fit into that category. You have a mixture. You have blacks who will fit or stay or remain in that culture, who will pass, drive 10, 15 miles past your church to get to a black church to be with and among their people to be comfortable in their form and style of worship. And then you have others that won't have any part, that would drive past that church to go to a white church to be involved. And in many instances, as we study back, there's a probably a reason not that this person probably have given up his culture and willing to change over and adopt the culture of the white man, but maybe a lot of times he or she might be there to be that constant reminder that, hey, we have a mission, and as you stated, that we shouldn't be a black church or white church, but all of us, brothers and sisters together, reminding that white church of their duty, their responsibility of reaching out, sharing that precious word of God with all people, reaching that neighbor right down the street from the church. And we find a number of people are in those churches as a constant reminder. And praise the Lord. We need that. Have poor, middle class, high middle class, and poor. I look at our congregation, and so often we say of a congregation, and that's have a lot of bearing to that. People in turn flock together. If there's this church is catered to mostly middle class, that you would have mostly middle class in that church, in that particular group. But I find this not to be the case in many of the black churches. You will have from the very poor to all the way up to the doctors and lawyers and congregations. I knew that one was coming up. I was waiting for it. I found with this is true, and not only that, but getting people, not only with the Sunday school, but even adults, to get them into confirmation class. I think with blacks, there's something about the confirmation class that scares them away. I feel that from the background coming, many of them coming from Baptist or Methodist church, where getting into the church or becoming a member, a part of the church, is not all of the rigmarole of going through the confirmation class, where they come up or at a certain point in the service that they are moved, motivated by the Spirit, they will come up and join the church. And that's basically all that is done. And they are familiar with this in many instances, and they come out of this background. When they come to our Sunday schools, where they enjoy the Sunday school and the Word of God is taught there, and we get them involved and they're willing to go and attend regularly, but then you say confirmation class, you have to go through a period of study for 3 months or so, or however long it might be. It just scares them off. I have a number of members that are coming regularly and stated that they would join the church and would desire to join the church, but I just can't get them involved in confirmation plans. No, or Bible study. We've even set up, we have Bible study and get you that way, but they just won't come. They'll find some excuse, and I'm not able to pinpoint it other than coming out of that background setting. I think one way of handling and dealing with it, that I'm dealing with it, is especially with the adults, that I can't motivate to come at a certain time to confirmation class. I've invited them to come to our Bible study, our Sunday morning Bible study. And here I've done now, what I'm doing now is going back through the catechism with all of our members. So in so doing, I kept them that way. Okay, the other question dealing with the black district, that have caused a lot of flags to go up, a lot of discussion in the past year, and I must say that this whole deal with the black district idea were to say to Senate in particular that here we have been in this church for over 100 years. We have been a part of this church, and yet we have not been really assimilated throughout in this church. I still look at it as being the blacks really being the helm on the outside of the jug. And the whole thing of the black district was to say, you know, we want to be a part of it, involved in every realm and every board and committee of this church, or have no part at all. And that was the whole message, that the black district, the separate black district, was coming about or wanted to say. And I think this was a means by which we used to share, because it caused people to listen. People were concerned about it. People tuned in to ask questions about this. And we have seen some things happening as a result of this. I don't believe that this will ever come about, because we have too many pastors, members who were involved in the old synodical district, who knew what it was like at that time to be separate and outside, and some of the things that they went through, who said, no, we will never go through that again. And even though the whole idea and the whole setup of the black district had a different twist, a different avenue to it, if we had gotten involved in it, than the old synodical conference, but the majority of the people saw this as being the same. We're moving backward instead of forward. But I do feel that it accomplished the purpose. We were heard. I've seen some things happening. As a result of that, some doors are being opened. Praise God for that. Any other question? Or is the time up? Gone past our time. Well, I thank you so much for inviting me to be with you, and I hope that maybe something that I've said today would stimulate, motivate you, and help you along the line, especially if there are some here that are thinking about getting involved in black ministry, black work. Hear what the prophet had to say, Ezekiel. And I use that text in particular because it's a beautiful example of dealing with a particular group of people, how God led this person, Ezekiel, to get to know, led him round and about to know his people. And here we talk about that culture barrier, to break down those culture barriers so that he would know, and then to know that God's word was able to bring them alive again. And this is the same message that I leave with you as we deal with all form of ministry. Get to know people and love people with your heart, and know that God's word is able. Thank you so very much.
being with us. We'd like to remind everyone that at the dining hall, you can take your tray and come right in to pursue any related questions that you would like.